Our text for this morning's meditation is from our gospel reading. We heard a few moments ago these words, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace." Luke 19:41. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the tragedy that unfolds throughout the 66 books of the Bible, it's not the crucifixion of Christ. It's not the crucifixion of Christ. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the cross was followed by his resurrection. Resurrection from the dead, 3 days later. And then his ascension into heaven, 40 days after that. And then the sending of his Holy Spirit, 10 days after that. No, the tragedy of the Bible is not the crucifixion of Jesus. Tragedy of the Bible is the children of Israel. Tragedy of the Bible is the children of Israel. For already in the 12th chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 12, Abraham is called by God and told that from him, from Abraham, a great nation would be created, the children of Israel. Name of Abraham's grandson, what we know today as the Jews. God would be their God, and they would be his people. Yet time after time after time, as we read in the 39 books of the Old Testament, the children of Israel, they rebelled against God. They rejected his oversight. They abandoned his way of life. Yes, being the children of God, it certainly was wonderful. But no, being parented by God, having their culture defined by God, was not to be tolerated. So Jesus then, in our gospel reading, weeping over Jerusalem, crying because God, their loving Heavenly Father, would that the people living in Jerusalem live in peace, live in joy and love, that is, live wonderfully and wondrously and in wonder, but well, they just didn't want that. Jews wanted their own thing. They wanted to make their own decisions and live the way they wanted to live. Benefits of being the children of God they would surely accept and enjoy, but limitations to their lives, to their wills, to their freedoms, to do in this world what they wanted to do, no. So the question our text raises, and in particular of import to us this morning, is whether or not we find ourselves nowadays living out that same tragedy, that is, being in the same position as those Jews in Jerusalem during the time of Jesus. In other words, if Jesus were to observe us today, personally, would he have occasion to cry over us? To cry over what we're doing? To cry over what we're thinking? What we're becoming? Would Jesus cry over us because we too have been declared the people of God through faith in him, through our baptisms into him, and yet we regularly spurn his direction, his care, and guiding, opting instead for our own course through life? One of my favorite comic strips as a child was Peanuts, and especially the one of Lucy wanting to hold Linus's hand as he crossed the street, that is to make sure Linus would be okay as he traversed the danger of the street, and Linus refusing to allow Lucy to hold his hand, declaring, "I can hold my own hand." So the last panel of the strip featured Linus, his one hand holding his other above his head, as he traversed the danger of the street all by himself. What a wonderful image, a wondrous picture, wonderfully depicted by Charles Schulz of Man Today. Man insisting on holding his own hand. man, even Christian man, fully willing to accept the benefits of being the children of God, that is daily the assurance of sins forgiven, our sins, but beyond that, shunning the parenting of God, his parenting of us, his culture. And the consequence? We don't live in peace. We don't live in peace. Oh, sure, we can live in peace, peace of our own making, but can only live in that peace, peace of our own making, if we ignore reality. That is, if we ignore our deteriorating relationships, we ignore our credit card bills, we ignore our health, we ignore our failures. For often, the basic essence of our being at peace in the world is in never taking responsibility for our life at all, but relying on others for our peace. Our parents, our relatives, our friends. They might be thinking that I'm somewhat referring to the latest generation here on earth, but I'm not. Not specifically. Over 20 years ago now, my aunt died. My aunt, who made an incredible cheesecake that we looked forward to eating every summer when we would visit her house there in Rockford, Illinois. But she died. Aunt Lori died. All people do. And when she died, my uncle Eddie, was lost. Completely lost. Completely and utterly lost. Why? Not because he missed my aunt, whom he truly loved, but my uncle was lost because my aunt had always done every single thing for him. Everything in the house, all the cooking, all the cleaning, the bill paying. My uncle's peace in this world had been my aunt. So our question for this morning, the question for each and every one of us is, what is our peace? Is our peace our parents? Our peace our spouse? Peace our siblings, our bank account? What is our peace? Anything short of peace with God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, faith that leads us into and keeps us in the grace of God, his undeserved love for us, is not really peace. It's not. In fact, it's denial. It's an illusion, even a delusion. What's the alternative? What else can we do? My heart is in anguish within me, so the psalmist of our intro. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Without even an illusionary peace that we create ourselves by living in denial, there's simply terror. The terror of hiking along a narrow mountain trail in the Rockies, and the mountain dropping away for 1,000 feet to one side of the trail, and the sudden realization that it's so. The sudden realization that we're inches from death. The sudden thought that not only must we continue, but having continued along this path, we must also return. We must return down this same path. Some people in that situation, they simply freeze. They can't move. So they must be rescued. The only solution, of course, is to ignore the danger, have confidence in ourselves, logically deduce our way out of it by remembering that we do know how to walk and assuring ourselves that just as thousands of people before us have successfully traversed that same path, we can too. In other words, we hold our own hand. Everyone turns to his own course, we heard in Jeremiah. Or in today's parlance, everyone does their own thing. Living the dream, we say today, which in reality is actually a dream, an illusion, a delusion, from which we will awake one way or another, as the children of Israel would, who were in Jerusalem when Jesus wept over them. What happened there to the children of Israel? To those in Jerusalem who rejected the Lord's Christ, their Messiah, their Lord's salvation, the Son of David who had rode into Jerusalem on a donkey in the name of the Lord. What happened to those people who were living the dream, holding their own hand. In AD 70, their city was surrounded, besieged no less during the Passover, when hundreds of thousands of people were within its walls. The armies of the Roman general Titus completely surrounding the city, destroying it, and whoever was not killed was taken off into captivity. There, it was no matter of racism or some sort of pogrom against a specific people group, as much as a government being sick and tired of a part of its empire rebelling again and again and again and again and again. Grateful then we should be that our loving Heavenly Father is not the Roman Emperor Titus. Because that's what we do so often, isn't it? Rebel against our Father in heaven by striking out on our own, and yet God would that we have the peace which He would give to us. And so He's made known that peace He'd give to us through His Son, Jesus our Lord. Romans 5 again. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In practical terms, then, what does this mean? It means that we let go of our own hand and we grasp the hand of our Heavenly Father in faith. We let go of our own hand and we grasp the hand of our Heavenly Father in faith. It means that we can live each day in the reality of our lives, dealing with what comes our way day in and day out through difficulties and trials and troubles, not ignoring them, but facing them head on, living in and with them. So Romans 5 continues, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We could argue here on this basis, then, that to live truly, to live really, and in full awareness and responsibility for our lives, really, it's only possible through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By walking daily with our hand firmly placed in the hand of our Father in heaven. But if our only solution is to avoid all suffering by living in an illusion or a delusion or a dream reality, that is suffering, reality, that is suffering that accompanies this life, reminding us always that death awaits us, suffering, a reality that is a tremendous suffering in which we realize that we have been completely hemmed in on every side by our bad decisions, our stupid actions, our foolish thoughts inventing reality, true reality of the situation which is this life. It will one day overwhelm us with tremendous force. And there'll be nothing we can do about it. Nothing. Now, when we think about such an event in our lives coming to us, we may think of some sort of car accident or falling overboard into a lake while boating or being caught up in some sort of bad event at a concert or a game where a huge crowd traps us and crushes us. But no! The realization of a rebellious life and its result can come upon us so quickly. As we're sitting at a table, eating supper, or on a couch playing a video game, or driving down the road in our car. At such a moment, then what? Well, we know the way that makes for peace, don't we? It's our Lord Jesus Christ. Living daily through faith in Him and living in faith, we are granted the peace that passes all understanding. That is a peace that should not be peace. It shouldn't be. Because all the problems in life. But yet a peace, a true and actual peace created with us by the Holy Spirit of God. That the peace that issues and assures us that yes, our sins are forgiven and God does love us. And having that peace, we simply live trusting that our Father in heaven will create whatever earthly peace we may need to live from day to day to day. And even if God doesn't do that, and we live with one troubling matter after another, we will remain in the way of peace. The peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because we know it. We know the way that leads for peace. Amen. So now may this peace, which does indeed surpass all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.